The joyful mysteries are a part of Western Rite Orthodoxy and also the Roman Catholic tradition of praying the rosary. It's one of the aspects of that particular prayer piety. And among the five joyful mysteries include, as many of you may probably already know, include the Annunciation. The Annunciation, which was actually the time of Jesus' incarnation. The Visitation, when Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, the mother of St. John the Baptist. Then there was the Nativity, the third joyful mystery, which we have just finished celebrating. And then the fourth joyful mystery being the Presentation of our Lord in the temple, which we celebrated January 1st at the circumcision of our Lord. And today we are recognizing, and as a part of our liturgy and the gospel reading, we're recognizing the fifth joyful mystery, which is the finding of Jesus in the temple. So why is this considered a joyful mystery along with the other previous mysteries? Well, when we consider it and when we consider what the church fathers teach on this, we begin to understand something about the Gospel of Luke presenting Jesus in his full humanity. His full humanity in hypostatic union, as the church would say it, in hypostatic union with his divinity. And we just heard the gospel, and many of us are familiar with the story, the account from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41, when the Holy Family travels from Nazareth down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. As pious Jews, this was a requirement. And when they had completed their celebration, they returned home. Now, the gospel tells us, St. Luke tells us, that they were a full day's journey before they realized Jesus wasn't in their company. And you wonder, how did that happen? Well, the reality is that families, large extended families and many community members would travel in caravans. And so for a 12-year-old boy, it wouldn't have been unusual that he was hopping around from family member to family member, and mom and dad just simply didn't notice until a day in a journey when they began to inquire, hey, we haven't seen Jesus. And so when they didn't find Jesus within their company, they returned to Jerusalem. And we know that from the gospel that Joseph and Mary were anxious. They were concerned, as any parents would be. They were pained in their soul. Any parent who's ever, even just for a moment, lost a child knows how just the degree of anxiety and even panic that can sweep over you, wondering what has happened to that child. But the scripture tells us that after 3 days, they find him. They find Jesus in the temple, the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. The after 3 days, the church fathers tell us, is a very clear reference to the resurrection. Just as Jesus had departed the sight of his mother and his followers as he was entombed for 3 days. But it was after 3 days that his glorious appearance occurred. So in this fifth joyful mystery, in the finding of Jesus, there is also the joy that is being projected in terms of our own life, in terms of the joy of Pascha, of the resurrection. And so this must not be lost on us in this account. But we find that Jesus is there, and he's not teaching the religious leaders, the priests and the scribes and so forth. but rather he's asking them questions. He's asking them questions. This was a way of Jesus, appropriate to his human age of 12, to be able to convey truth to those that were there and present in the temple. In the same way that a trained counselor, an experienced police detective in an interview room, a priest in the confessional, asking the right questions can help extract truth. Truth about who we are. Truth about the reality of our souls. So the joyful mystery of finding Jesus in the temple says something about Jesus' presence and the way that he's able to lay bare our souls. The other thing that is presented here in the gospel is that Jesus, it says in verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. Mary, the most holy Theotokos, continued to learn in these mysteries involving our Lord. But then it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now, if Jesus is truly God, which is what we confess, then he is the fullness of wisdom and grace. And in that hypostatic union, as St. John of Damascus teaches us, there is no diminishment of that in the incarnation. So how is it that he increases in wisdom and stature? Well, the answer is very simply this. From the human perspective, from his human development, he had subjected himself to human development. And it was from the perspective of man that as he continued to grow in his humanity, that the evidence of the fullness of wisdom and grace began to be revealed more and more. It's not that there was any less wisdom and grace from the very point of the Annunciation, from the very point of his incarnation. But this also conveys to us that in finding the child Jesus in the temple, is a means by which we, in our own development of faith, continue to discover and to find our Lord. Even when we believe that he is lost, even when the circumstances and the pain and disappointments and bitterness of our lives may draw us away from our faith, and that God may feel so very far away, we continue to find Jesus in this joyful mystery, and finding him, discovering him anew in the temple. First of all, in the liturgical worship of the church. We come here, we gather every Sunday, the day of resurrection. We gather here every major feast day in order to find Jesus. To find Jesus in our midst, to discover the risen Lord in the preached and the spoken word, to encounter the risen Lord in the holy mysteries of the Eucharist, in his body, in his precious shed blood. This is why it's so important for the gathering together of the saints and finding Jesus. But Jesus, our Lord, is not confined to the brick and mortar of this building. Rather, there is a mystical presence whereby Jesus also indwells every believer. The temple our very bodies, our very souls. I want to remind you of what St. Paul teaches in his first epistle to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. He says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." And verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our bodies don't belong to us. They're temples of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord abides there. Our Lord dwells there. But there is so much in our own lives, if we're really honest, if we take inventory of our lives, in terms of our own impulses and sinful, disordered passions which war against the soul. But God is doing a work, just as we talked about in the circumcision of our Lord, and cutting away those passions, and cutting away the things which acts as impediments to our encountering the Lord in a very real way. And God very often uses suffering and the painful circumstances of our lives in doing this. But so many times, all we can do is focus upon the uncomfortableness, the unsavoriness of what we're going through, the physical pain, the psychological or emotional pain of the situation. But let this be a grace in our lives which enable us to truly discover our real selves. Because as St. John Chrysostom said, in finding the door of our heart, there we will find the door to the kingdom of heaven. In discovering Christ himself in the temple of our own hearts, instructing us, encouraging us, sanctifying us, saving us. But we also discover our Lord in the sacred other, in the sacred broken other, I should add. We very often times, though, will, by our own self-righteous judgment, will be blocked from seeing the Lord and discovering the Lord in the struggle of the other. I wanted to read, a very powerful story about Elder Paisios at Mount Athos. And it was written, "Once on Mount Athos, there was a monk who lived in Chares. He drank and got drunk every day and was the cause of scandal to the pilgrims. Eventually he died, and this relieved some of the faithful, who went on to tell Elder Paisios that they were delighted that this huge problem was finally solved. Father Paisios answered them that he knew about the death of the monk after seeing the entire battalion of angels who came to collect his soul. The pilgrims were amazed, and some protested and tried to explain to the elder of whom they were talking about, thinking that the elder, he didn't understand, he must have been talking about somebody else. Elder Paisios explained to them. He said, this particular monk was born in Asia Minor shortly before the destruction by the Turks, when they gathered all the boys. So as not to take him from their parents, they would take him with them to the reapings, and so he wouldn't cry, they put raki, that is strong liquor, into his milk in order for him to sleep. Therefore he grew up as an alcoholic. There he found an elder and said to him that he was an alcoholic. The elder told him to do prostrations and prayers every night and beg the most holy Theotokos to take him, to help him rather, to reduce by one the glasses he drank. After a year, he managed with struggle and repentance to make the 20 glasses he drank each day into 19 glasses. The struggle continued over the years, and he reached 2 to 3 glasses with which he would still get drunk. The world for years saw an alcoholic monk who scandalized the pilgrims, but God saw a fighter who fought a long struggle to reduce his passion. Without knowing what each one is trying to do, what he wants to do, what right do we have to judge the effort? In many ways, I think that this is illustrative of us, not only illustrative of us in our tendency to self-righteously judge the other, but also in our own struggles with the demons that we deal with and struggle with. But it is by entering into the life of the other, not with self-righteous judgment, but with a co-suffering. Truly, the word compassion means to co-suffer. We find and enter into the joyful mystery of finding Jesus. Finding Jesus in that sacred life of the other. So let us continue in that faithful journey. A journey that is marked by resurrection, by new life, and continuing to find the Jesus, the child Jesus, to continue to find and to discover our Lord in the temple of our own lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.